First, as far as musical genres go, you might think of classical and bluegrass as about as far apart as you can get. But hold on. The Wisconsin group Grammony, a group that combines the two styles, the five-person ensemble has won a bunch of awards, including multiple Classical Album of the Year and Classical Song of the Year awards from the Madison Area Music Association. Michael Bell is a composer of grassroots and classical music. He performs on mandolin with Grammony. He recently spoke with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears Poisson.
Where did the idea of mixing those two genres, classical music and bluegrass music, come from?
Well, we first came together for an Earth Day celebration with new compositions to celebrate Earth Day with our Nelson Institute here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I teach.
And when was that?
That was back in 2010. We've been playing for 9 years. And if you know anything about musical groups, then you know what great friends we clearly must be.
That you lasted that long.
And let me tell you the names of those good friends.
Please.
So there's Chris Wagoner. He is our fiddler or our violinist. Then there is Jen Claire Paulson. She's our violist. She also plays in the Madison Symphony Orchestra. There's Mary Gaines on cello. And there's Chris Powers on bluegrass guitar.
So classical and bluegrass, I feel like many people would think, wow, those are about as far apart as you can get. But do you see lines between the two?
Well, classical music has actually always drawn on grassroots traditions, though sometimes it's done it in a somewhat abstract way, and the audience sometimes has gotten a little lost, perhaps particularly in 20th century music. And as well, grassroots traditions have drawn very strongly on classical, harmony, a lot of the instruments used. So we thought we'd put the two together in what we call classgrass music.
Classgrass, I love that. And I feel like Lua's Dance from your album Dance of the Plants has really lovely elements of both classical and bluegrass. Can you tell us a little bit about that piece?
Well, that's a lovely piece that was composed by our first violist. We now have a second violist, Chauncey Lee. And it's a really cool tune because it has this wonderful lilt. It's in 7/8 time, which is not a rhythm that's used very much in classical music. And often folk traditions like that little extra hop that you get from it.
It's interesting because as I was preparing for this, I wrote about this piece. But then I was like, but is it a song? And you just used the word tune. And I feel like in some ways we label different types of music differently in how highbrow they sound. Like piece sounds classier, no pun intended, than song. Is that something you struggle with?
Well, we usually don't call them pieces. When we use the word song, we usually mean something with words. We do a few vocal pieces. There, you got me saying pieces, for lack of a better term. But usually we call it a tune.
Let's listen to a bit of Lua's Dance. Should in general be less strict about labeling music in terms of what genre it's supposed to fit into?
Well, I think people do want some expectations of what they're going to listen to, and there can be constraints with that, but there's also the opportunity to take that expectation and go someplace else with it.
Quite a bit of your music really serves as an embodiment of place. What is Wisconsin and Midwestern about Grammony?
Well, the Midwest, I like to think of, is a place where East and West meet face to face. And there are peoples from all over the world here, and we try to embody that in our music. We draw on heritages that we in the band more closely identify with, and then we also bring those into dialogue with other ones from our area.
Well, and it's interesting because you said that Grammony came out of a request to play for Earth Day. which is something that came out of Wisconsin with Gaylord Nelson.
Indeed, very good point. And our name comes from the Latin word for grasses, graminae. But that sounded a little too highbrow, so we call it Graminae. And also, we wanted that the sense of the Latin to reference the classical, and of course, grass to represent grass.
I really like the song Baraboo Hills. That's on the album Germinations, a bluegrass symphony in D.
It actually came to me, the tune came to me after my daughter went on a geology field trip to the Baraboo Hills, and she came back with two rocks that she really loved, a red phyllite, which she called Phyllis the Phyllite. She gave it a name. And then there was Ricky, the Baraboo quartzite. And so I just came up with this notion of a kind of a love story between these two rocks, but it's a billion-year-old love story.
Wow.
Because that's how old those hills are.
Time for lots of twists and turns in that love story. And I do think that's one of the elements of living in Wisconsin is that the Baraboo Hills are really a geologic miracle, and they're right in our backyard. Sometimes it's easy to overlook those things.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we can do in music, particularly through the names we give to things, but also the music itself, is to remind people of things that they actually already knew.
Let's listen to a little bit of Baraboo Hills. We're talking with Michael Bell. He is Chair and Vilas Distinguished Achievement Professor of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison, and he is also a prolific composer of grassroots and classical music. We are talking about his award-winning class grass band, Graminae, and we are talking about some of the music and this mix of classical and bluegrass. And Michael, how does instrumental music especially evoke such strong moods and ideas? I mean, in your work with Graminae, you have songs that draw on the environment, dragon boats, even fermentation.
Well, music is a form of emotional communication. It's the human equivalent of birdsong, the growl of the bear, the bark of the dog, the purr of the cat. There's a marvelous book you might enjoy someday, called The Singing Neanderthals, that talks about music as actually being the original form of human communication. And it's emotional, so it really strikes you very, very deeply. Now, with words, of course, you can paint a lot of that in, but also with the instruments, we can get a little of the growl of the bear, we can get the call of the bird, we can get the bark of the dog, and maybe even the purr of the cat on our instruments.
I have to say that your song, The Last Nanook, is very evocative and, you know, not surprising given your background in environmental sociology and the environment itself. This is a very poignant song. Let's listen to a little bit of that. So tell us what's going on there. I think it'll be easy for people to be able to draw the connections.
Yeah, well, you can hear the sadness of the bear there in the very beginning of the piece and at the ending of the piece. It's kind of making a lonely call out to other bears as it's sitting there on the iceberg. The piece was inspired by that. I don't know if you've seen that photograph of the polar bear that's on an iceberg, and there's water all around it, and it's kind of drifting away and wondering where to go next. So we actually tried to put the sound of the wail of the bear in the music.
I think the range of Graminae is clear partly because you're mixing these two genres of bluegrass and classical music, but also in the variety of tones. I mean, that's a very different tone than some of the things that we heard earlier.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're able to do with instrumental music is both think about the melody, which is kind of the idea, and then also think about the texture we give it, which changes the mood. So with the same melody, if you give it a different texture, it actually can have a very different meaning. And so we love to think about all the different extensions of sounds that we can do with our instruments. So your normal like bluegrass band, you know the sound of the banjo you're going to get, and you're going to get a few ranges of sound of the fiddle or what have you that really defines that genre. And we're going to use that, but then going back to that business about expectations and, you know, the advantages and disadvantages of defining a genre, we can then take that and go someplace else and hopefully not lose the audience in the process because they've got the familiar that they can then understand as we take it someplace else.
And before we let you go, what do you see tackling next in the class grass genre?
Well, our most exciting project right now, we think, is a new piece we're writing about climate change. It's called Respiration, and it evokes the notion that what you breathe in, something else breathed out, and what I breathe in, something else breathed out, and what I breathe out, you're going to breathe in, and vice versa. But not just us as people, us as parts of an ecology which is constantly breathing and connecting.
Sounds lovely. We'll look forward to hearing it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Michael.
My pleasure.
Michael Bell is a composer of grassroots and classical music. He performs on mandolin with the group Grammony. He talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson about mixing genres of music and how classical and bluegrass can work together.